Oh, hi there, folks. This is the Mel Riot Real Estate Agent Show, episode 80, folks. And we've got a special here. We're just going to have a conversation with my co-host. We've had a number of guests last year, and we've had a few in the new year. I can't believe, Thomas, that we've got to almost the end of January. And before you answer that question, Thomas, I'd like to introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in San Diego, California, where I'm never too busy for your referrals. And you can find me on my website at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com.
And
back to you, Don.
Yeah, so I'm the host of this ship, folks. I'm the owner of Mel Riot, which is a software marketing company that will help you get more quality leads with and market yourself. So, Thomas is having a bit of a rough day, folks. He's been really busy on his real estate business, and also he's got the builders in. He's got the contractors in his own. And he's a bit flustered, folks, aren't you, Thomas? You're a little bit flustered, aren't you?
We should clarify, though, the business is wonderful, and that's not got me flustered. But when you add a busy work schedule with contractors invading your home, that does get you a little flustered.
you know, when he says to the clients, folks, it only needs a little bit of a kitchen modification, he can sympathize a bit more there. So you folks.
Fortunately, this is actually my fifth kitchen remodel. So but typically I'm doing them to my investment property, so I don't have to live in the construction zone. So we finally got around to doing our own kitchen. My bride was having better kitchens than we do.
Yep, that's not good enough, is it, folks? So, Thomas, I thought on this show we'd discuss a little bit, not in enormous detail, but only in a little bit, start off, you know, what are your kind of plans, your marketing plans for 2017? And have they altered at all by being my co-host? Have you changed any of your kind of basic philosophies around marketing by being the co-host and listening to our guests?
Absolutely. We've had some pretty amazing guests, from content to Facebook to SEO to websites, and that has had a huge effect on me, actually. I mean, first of all, I have a new website. I had professional video shot of me for an introduction on that website and for my blog. I'm also going to be doing some professional content on localism, and I'll be focusing specifically on the areas that I primarily work in, San Diego and La Jolla. And then there'll be content and videos to support that to increase my SEO for those specific areas, create my niche, if you will. I'm using my co-host services, MailRight, which has been kind of a lot of fun to work with. It's not really work, because you set up your schedule for posts and you can kind of play around with the content. You can insert some of your own personalized content, and then you just let it roll. And one of the most amazing things I've noticed is the increase in traffic on my Twitter, and how many more people are following me in just the short amount of time I've been working with it. So I would say I have definitely stepped up my social media presence, video, and I'm a lot more conscious of not letting my website just sit on a template at autopilot. You have to go in and customize it, folks.
Yeah, I think that the reason for the show, folks, is that we've really covered an enormous amount of territory over the past, since before, but especially since Thomas has come on board. We've covered an enormous amount of territory, and it's all right for us just to preach you a little bit. But I just wanted to see if Thomas had taken up any of the areas that we had discussed. And I think you're doing exactly the right thing there. You know, you're getting some what in the business would be called evergreen content. And what that what that term means, folks, is it's content that Google will love, but it's content that you won't have to change every month. It's content that you could develop out, so you could get those videos, which Thomas is doing, and then get a nice write-up about the specific area which the video is about, You could develop it out a bit further. You could write additional posts and link them to that static page. You could reuse the video and cut it up and periodically put it on Facebook. You could use the video and put it onto YouTube. So not only have you got that evergreen content, which you can add to over the year, but you can multi-purpose as well. So that's what you're planning, isn't it, Thomas?
Absolutely. It's deliberately shot the video in segments so it can be broken up where instead of it being a 3-minute video, it could be as little as a 50-second video because each what we did is basically answered specific questions and they're segmented so that it can be pieced out for that purpose. So that's exactly why we did it that way. And that was under the advice of both you and a couple of our most recent guests, because the evergreen makes it worth the money you spend because you're going to get a lot of mileage out of it. So you're willing to spend a little more shooting a video that you're going to get a few years out of. And then you can go do your own videos with your iPhone or whatever you use for the more localism or seasonal things that may have to be updated periodically.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about market trends, for example.
Yeah. So in the broadest sense, being exposed as a co-host, has your philosophy around marketing and what you need to do you feel it's changed at all?
Yeah, I can sum it up this way. I'm not lazy about my marketing anymore because it's a contact sport. And I realized how much I was allowing it to be on autopilot and not involved in it enough. It's great to get it set up, and there's a certain amount of it that does go out automatically, which gives me the oxygen to then put the effort into, say, like the 20% that I want to put my personal touch on or do something unique. So that ultimately I don't want my audience thinking that everything I post is coming from a third party. I want them to know that there's a human being that is me behind it. It's not my assistant. It's not all third party posts, but you have to have a certain amount set up and automated, even if you're just drafting 9 posts that you then schedule out for the week. You can personalize them yourself. But there is a huge benefit to the automation.
I totally, we're on the same wavelength, folks. You get a lot of people that say you can automate everything. No, it's a personal business. That's why for the foreseeable future, there's going to be a place for real estate professionals, folks, because it's a person-to-person business. And you automate the things that you can. But you also, that should give you the time to do the personalization, which what Thomas has just said. So, I can hear his contractors trying to join us, folks.
We're done. I'm sorry. I mean, of all things, I have to be here, and unfortunately, my home office is right above the construction.
You want to join us, folks? hopefully our audience will appreciate Ahuma Thomas. We're getting more and more people listen to the show, which is great news. I think this month we're going to get even more people than last month, which was a record month. So they must be enjoying your humor. They're probably not enjoying my Thomas, but there we go.
I enjoy your humor.
All right. So what do you see some of the challenges for yourself personally around your own business in 2017? And on a wider, what are your feelings about some of the bigger challenges facing the industry itself in 2017?
Sure. Well, I mean, the big stuff is, of course, all the speculation and the Chicken Little syndrome over the election and what's the Trump effect going to be? I can tell you, I've been a realtor for 18 years, and I can only think of one time ever a president directly affected my line of work, and that was when Obama, for a period of time, gave the banks a way out of doing pre-foreclosures, which everyone calls short sales, and they had a tax advantage for doing a foreclosure, and suddenly our short sale market started drying up because the banks were like, well, why bother? And then they on that plan and they corrected it, but there was a blip there where that affected me. But outside of that, I mean, I make my own economy, and I work within whatever market is handed to me at any given time. It's kind of like the military, adapt and overcome. It's not a comfortable thing for an agent that wants to repeat the same thing year after year. But if you're comfortable with change, or even if you're not comfortable, but you're able to go through change, you know, that's just the way this market is, because it's a different market almost every quarter. And it's a significantly different market year to year. But on the big scope, that's that. Of course, the Fed announced in December that we're going to see some rate hikes. That wasn't a surprise. We were anticipating that. So what that effect's had is an urgency. There's a lot of people urgent to lock in their rate and lock in the price of the home, because in San Diego, we're going up about 5 to 7% per month. Because there's an inventory shortage. And surprisingly, the biggest inventory shortage in San Diego right now is the 700,000 to 1.1 million range, which tells you, maybe that price range is staying put because they're concerned about where are they going to go from there. But on the smaller scale, for my own personal challenges, what I'm looking at is, what can I do differently this year? How can I be unique in the market but get out there and make an impact? And so part of it is this new social media automation I'm doing.
They're driving us crazy, folks. Thomas, we couldn't record earlier or later because Thomas is very good news. Thomas is extremely busy with his business. So we're going to have a bit of heart, folks. We're just going to challenge. Push through this. So go back
this is like a total grassroots broadcast today. getting back to what I was saying, the challenges having a plan. I sat and created a marketing plan heavily in October and then refined it in December. And now it's a matter of managing it. I'm participating in three very deliberate marketing blitzes this year. There's one that I'm in right now. There'll be one in the summer, and there'll be one in the end of the third into the fourth quarter. These are predetermined action steps that I'm going to take each week.
God knows what Elgin is going to think of this. Folks, just give us some feedback. Email me, or especially email Thomas. but you've got to bless those contractors. But being our audience works a lot with contractors, I thought there'd be more sympathetic. Yeah, I just hope so. I think the other factor that just occurred to me, a lot of people think there is differences about different areas and different audiences, different leads, different age groups. So your marketing, somebody can have a really successful marketing system in a different area and a different class of possible lead than what you normally work with. But you can't really utilize their systems because it would be totally inappropriate for your own area. And I don't think a lot of people really realize that. They think there's just going to be one universal marketing system that they can use in the industry, don't they? But they don't realize they've got to adapt to their local environment, haven't they?
Yeah, you definitely. I mean, the longer I've been in my industry, the more I've realized that you have to specialize. Because I mean, if you try to be all things to all people, you'll go broke marketing to them. You really got to drill down, because the peripheral business comes. But you got to give them something to focus on. The example I give is, like, if you're in a networking group, and let's just say you want to sell whatever you sell to pilots. So you might say to your group, who here knows someone that works for Virgin America? I'd say, well, I don't know anyone that works for Virgin America. I only know people that work for Southwest. Bingo. I'm not trying to literally get only Virgin America, but what I'm trying to get people to do is set their reticular activator in their brain to the airlines, and maybe that'll register in their brain someone that they do know that works for any airline. And then that gets the referrals coming in because now you've got them focused. But if you just say, I want to serve all pilots everywhere, that's just too broad and people can't focus, and you might as well not have said anything. It's the same thing with your marketing. You got to spend your money wisely and your focus wisely. You'll get the peripheral business. But so, like, for example, in my world, I'm marketing to people in the Golden Triangle of San Diego, which is where I live and I hold an office in UTC, La Jolla, University City, Sereno Valley. That's my...
You sure it's not the Bermuda Triangle?
it feel like it sometimes. It's the Bermuda Triangle when I don't market enough, I'll tell you that.
Oh, English humor, folks. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. I think another area which I see a lot of agents falling down, and just wanted to see if you agree, is that there's a lot of free stuff that you can do. Zillow, basically fill in your profile completely on Zillow. Go to realtor.com and fill in your free profile. Actually get one of your videos and put it on Zillow on the free profile page. That just by the act of putting a video on your Zillow page, that will move you up. People are doing searches, you go up higher without actually giving them any money.
It doesn't matter how you feel about Zillow, because I know a lot of agents just, you know, let's face it, they say they hate Zillow. Yeah. But here's the thing. Why would you refuse to put your advertisement, if it's free, on one of the most visited websites in the real estate industry? It doesn't make any sense to ignore it. You might as well take advantage of it and get the profile up to date and get a video on there and then start attracting people to you. Get those free leads from Zillow, and that's just one little facet of your multifaceted plan. You're not putting all your eggs in that basket, but it's nice to have that working in the background for you while you're out actively pursuing other avenues in your marketing.
And I would still set up a Google Plus account and fill in the profile part. And they've separated the local business from your G Plus account, but you can still link them. And I would do that and fill, and also your Google local business page. I would fill all that in as well. So Google Plus, Zillow, I would Yelp. I would set up a Yelp page and fill it up. I would fill the whole profile with as much detail. And I would go back to those every 3 months, every quarter. I would set up in my calendar a morning where I would go back to all these profiles and try and add some new content to them. You don't have to do it every month, but put a specific day in your calendar every quarter to go and update them. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. You got to add new content to all your permanent sites, if you will. We just had this conversation on Active Rain this morning. One of the agents said, how often do you update your MLS photos on a listing? And a lot of people are like, well, why would I do that? But those of us that knew what she was getting at, every time you adjust the sequence of the photos or add or change the description, it repopulates all the people that have it as a saved property in their profile. It repopulates and brings back the attention to it. And we do that as a strategy on Thursdays and Fridays for people heading into the weekend to remind them, hey, come visit our home. And that's something we do pretty much weekly on the MLS. So I would say that doing something quarterly is easily done, especially if, like you said, you just schedule it. And even if you did all your sites in one sitting, it would take less than an hour.
Exactly. But you must schedule it, folks. You must schedule a morning where you're going to do it. And unless you got somebody that's going to buy a house that morning and give you a fantastic check, don't back out of it. Don't reschedule and then not bother. You've got to have a specific time every quarterly to update these things. And you'll get enormous benefit from doing it. Another thing is, we just covered, you know, some agents say, why bother having a website? Now, the landscape has really changed, folks, you know, with Zillow and the big portals. The, you know, people aren't going to, your chances of getting on page one just doing, having a good selection of properties and offering search, which like 5, 6, 7 years ago was quite effective, will not work now. But being that doesn't work now doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a website. But what it means is you've got to do the things that Thomas mentioned at the beginning of this conversation. You can't leave it on autopilot. I think that's one of the also big area that you realize now as well, isn't it, Thomas?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a certain amount of work that needs to be put into it, and you either need to hire it done, but then you need to be the general contractor on it, if you will. You need to have your input meeting with that third party before they go to work on it, so it represents you properly. And you know, but ideally, you're putting in some of your own time on this because, I mean, let's face it, folks. This is the seeds. These are the seeds you're planting when you're networking and when you're marketing and when you're branding. You're planting seeds, and if you don't plant the seeds constantly, you're never going to enjoy the harvest. And what agents do is they get really busy, so they back off doing this, and then they have this huge drought because they never continued the planting during the busy times, which goes back to your point. Just schedule it. Make an appointment with yourself to do some of these tasks. You know, there's a famous quote from Jim Rohn about a farmer that went out to the field. His family was starving. His farm was in foreclosure and the field was barren. And the farmer looked at the field and said, "Field, I need a crop. My family's starving and I'm going to lose the farm. Give me a crop." And the field replied to the farmer, "Who is this fool that brings me his need but doesn't bring me any seed?" And that's the lesson I learned years ago. You have to constantly plant those seeds, whether it's in networking, branding, or the various forms of advertising that we do as agents. And which is why sometimes you got to bite the bullet and hire a third party to make sure when you're busy, and when you're busy, theoretically, you can afford a third party. And then if when things are slower, maybe you don't do the third party. Maybe you do it yourself. And you can kind of bounce back and forth that way. You don't have to do it full time with third party, nor do you have to do it full time yourself if you feel like you're too busy. But yeah, it has to be done.
I think that's great. We go for our break, folks, and then we go a little bit more detail about some other areas, and then we'll wrap it up. But we go for our break first, folks.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
We're coming back with my great co-host, Thomas, and his contractors, his contractor friends.
We keep it real here.
you should bring me into the fin, but we're continuing. And actually, I think we've covered some really, I think it really was a good idea to have a show where we talk about some of your experiences, about your reaction to some of our guests and some of the subjects that we covered, because you're a very experienced real estate agent with a number of years. And I was just interested in what has been your reaction to all the content that we've covered.
It's been an eye opener, I'll tell you, because you don't realize what you don't know until somebody shows you what you don't know and you go, oh my God, you know, and it's, some of this is so simple that you feel silly for not doing it, because if you just make that one little extra effort, you've got all this other marketing going to work for you.
And to go back to the conversation about the website, folks, what people tend to, it's either a feast or famine. Either they normally think they've got ridiculously schedules that are going to post every day, when they're not going to do that. But what they can do is, like what Thomas is working out his strategic evergreen content, and then he's working out he will add to it gradually. And those evergreen pages will be kind of Google honey traps. And when he adds additional content, it will make it even more delicious for Google. So that's what he's planning. And that's what you should be doing, folks. So when it comes to a website, yes, you need a website. I still think it should be that almost all your clients are going to... the other thing that's really changed is most of your clients are going to be checking out... and they're going to be checking you out on sites like Yelp, on Zillow. They'll be seeing how active you are in refreshing your Zillow page. They don't care if you're spending money with Zillow, but they do expect you to be refreshing these pages and to be active online. And what is the one area of all this landscape online that you have direct control over? It's your website. So... that's why you need one. You know, well,
and Jonathan, to your point, I just converted a for sale by owner to someone I'm representing now. And one of the deciding factors was they went to my website and they read my bio page. And, you know, in my mind, I because of my habits, I think, well, why would people do that? Because I don't always do that. But people do that. So, and if I didn't have that bio page on that website and that website looked like I cared about it, because that's a reflection of me. That website is a reflection of me. The same way the condition of my car when I pick someone up to show them property is a reflection of me. So you want it to look good because they are going there, folks. And I mean, and one of the hardest things to do is get a for sale by owner to list with you. And one of the main factors was my website.
Yeah, it's most strange, but there's the statistics, and you can find them on, I think, the National Realtors website. There's statistics of, on average, what is the second most hit page, apart from the home page, on the Realtors website? And what it is, it's the About Us page. It's your bio page.
Right.
Need decent photos of you that are up to date, folks, and you need a detailed, well written bio that doesn't just kind of pronounce your industry triumphs, but is worded in what your client would be interested in. What would your client be interested about you? And it's best to get 2 to 3 people to read it afterwards, and he wants to be in the voice that people would recognize about you. Obviously you've been listening to the show, folks, so you know what I'm like and you know what Thomas, but if you read something that supposedly should be written about us, which should be our bio, and it obviously was written by somebody else, that's not going to really work, is it, Thomas?
What I did with my bio is I wrote it out and then I gave it to a professional content writer to make it look better and sound better. But then it came back to me and I read it again and made some changes that, for the most part, they just left ultimately made. So it's my story. It's my words. It's just cleaned up professionally. But and I'm not talking about awards and years in business. I'm talking about the fact that I'm a third generation realtor and about my family and about my background. I talk about the fact that I was a wedding mobile DJ in my bio. And why the heck would people care that I was a DJ? Well, because I was helping people plan their weddings. So do you think I'm kind of good at helping people plan big events in their lives, like a wedding or maybe buying a house? Those are big moments in people's lives where there's a lot riding on it, a lot of money, a lot of stress. They're in unfamiliar territory. It's a life event for them. It's a regular day at work for me, but I have to empathize with my client's situation. The same way I was trying to get my contractors to empathize with my situation downstairs. So the point being is...
How did that work, Thomas?
Well, you've heard them. I said, be quiet, guys. So yeah. Probably didn't pour him enough coffee. But no, the point being is that you want to give things that people can see common thread with you and connect with you on. And it's not going to be your trophy case. It's going to be who you are, the authentic you, whether it's your hobbies, the sports you're involved in, the charity that you support. You know, and you want to keep it down the middle of the road. You know, obviously we don't get into politics, religion, or sex, but you try to give them a piece of you so you are a human being to them and not a commodity.
Yeah, I think let's go to kind of wrap up the show, folks. Let's go through some of the more traditional marketing methodologies that still push. And I'm not totally against them, but I have my particular view. But before I give it to you, folks, I wanted my co-host, door knocking. Going around Pacific districts and doing some door knocking. What's your attitude towards that, Thomas?
Well, I think if you're a new agent and you're starting a farm, that may still be legit. I don't want to completely put that down. I don't do it. About the only door knocking I would ever do anymore is if I was going to do a big open house and I wanted to go around and invite the immediate neighbors to a private showing before the public open house to make them feel special, and it'll be catered and, you know, this big affair. So that would just really be door knocking to drop off an invitation. The door knocking that I do is Popeyes. I go door knock my clients that know me, and when they look out the peephole, they'll open the door for me. and to stay in touch with them, I drop off little items of value if I'm in the neighborhood and just check in with them and let them know that, you know, long after the sale, I'm still interested in being their realtor and being a resource. But, I don't know how you feel about it, Jonathan, but when a stranger knocks at my front door, I don't even open it.
Funny enough, I totally agree with you. You took the words out of my – I think if you're a new agent, the key to this, folks, if you're trying to build your database, which is the 101 of real estate, it's in the red book, for God's sake, is you should do a number and also builds a lot of goodwill with other agents, do a lot of open houses. Most – states you have to be a part of a brokerage and offer to run open houses for other agents. Obviously, if you get a sale, you do a deal, but run a lot of open houses. If you're starting, you should try and do one a week if you can, and run them methodically. And that's when you do your door knocking around promoting the open house with some decent flyers, using a merciless plug for MailRite. We've got a fantastic review part of MailRite, which you can run on a tablet. And what you do is you do a little offer. You say at the end of the day, you're looking for reviews about how the open house was run. Go and look around the house, then come back and just leave a review. And at the end of the day, a lucky person's going to win a 25-50 Starbucks card. And these reviews, you can use them for your website, and it goes straight into your MailRite email list, which you can export into your customer management system. And it's just a fantastic – you've got to have a methodology to get the most value out of running these open houses, and you've got to work out your strategy. Would you agree with that, Thomas?
Absolutely. If you don't have a call to action and a follow-up strategy – then an open house to me is a complete waste of time. But if you're there with a way to capture leads as they come in with some sort of incentive, like you just described, which was a brilliant and very simple way to do it, then you're there with purpose. Then you've got some things to do to follow up. Because I think I'm probably misquoting this, but I'm not off by much. I think only about 8% of the homes sold in this country can be attributed to selling from the open house. So let's face it, most agents aren't doing the open house to get the house sold. They're there to capture leads, but they don't have a plan, a formal plan to do that. So they're just, you know, on a wing and a prayer, hoping that their wonderful personality attracts enough leads to follow up with. But I like your idea better, where you have the use of technology and something that's user friendly and not very intrusive that people would want to participate in.
And the way you do it, folks, is you get a cheap tablet, Android one with a web browser. You put the Mail Right screen on it, and then you tether it to your phone, so you don't have to have your like $600 top of the line iPad lying around. You just buy a really cheap Android tablet, and you just tether it. And so if somebody does walk off with it, they're nasty and walk. It's not the end of the world, is it, Thomas?
Well, yeah, hopefully you're not in a neighborhood where that happens.
You never know. But that's never what, on to cold phone calling, you know, robot, you know, using one of those systems and doing 50, 60 calls a day. What's your feeling about that?
Well, now our military is getting involved. Now I got F-18s going over that office.
He's got it all, folks. They're all coming to the mail right now.
I'm not a cold caller. I've got tons of people to call from my database and my CRM, so there's really no need or time to cold call. I know from listening to other podcasts that there are some guys that boast 500 calls a day. And they're busting it out. But, you know, here's the only thing I can say. I can program my home phone and my cell phone to ignore robot calls. It knows how to do that now. So anytime someone using an auto dialer or a robot call calls me, I get a one ring and then it goes away. And that person is shuffled off into wherever they get shuffled. So I know that there's people that are successfully doing that. I question how successful. I mean, if you're making 1,000 calls to get one lead, I don't know. Me, I can call, my stats are I call 15 people to get one lead and 8 leads to close one deal. That's my running stat right now. And that's all people that I know and that are happy to answer the phone when I call them or are willing to call me back if I get their voicemail.
Yeah,
that's
mine as well, folks. I hear these statements. I presume they're truthful. Good luck to them. But I just I don't have a ground line. I only have my iPhone. And if somebody's ringing me up that I don't really know, sometimes I will take the call. A lot of the times I won't. I just don't see it being that effective, folks. But the good news is that a whole other area has opened up in the past 4 years that enables you to influence people and to touch them quite regularly, and it's called social media, isn't it, Thomas?
Yep. And it's probably broader reaching, friendlier, it's a warmer if you will.
Now there's no, it's my fault, Thomas. But I think I know no subject where so much has been said with very little facts based on it. When it comes to social media, this is my play on it, folks. Facebook is the big gorilla. Let's face it. It depends on the type of people you're dealing with, but is where the action is. Your profile, you can have about 5,000 people. You cannot divorce your profile from your business page. I have some agents, and I call them the mystery agents, where they don't want to really share out their profile with people. I would suggest you're in the wrong business if you really feel like that. Your profile, more of your people are going to see your profile content than what they're going to see on your business page. So you want to be active on your profile. The profile is about really building relationship. So don't fill it in with your latest properties. People know you're a real estate agent, so they do expect you to talk about subjects around homes, because that should be your interest, right? Your business page. People say, well, because of the changes Facebook did, you don't have to bother with a business page. Nonsense. You've got to have a really well-designed business page, and you use a service like MailRite to put content in there, and then you've got to get posts, some of your own content there. But also you've got to use paid advertisement to get people to your that business page. And then you've got to have some methodologies about how you're going to turn those into leads. And over the months, I'm going to be writing and providing a lot more educational videos on the MailRite site about how to use real estate, how to use Facebook if you're a real estate agent. And I'll be going through all the things you need to know. When it comes to Twitter, I think people want to see you active on Twitter, but as a lead generation system, it probably ain't going to work out. But just keeping your face in front of people, using a system like MailRite and then reposting stuff, using a scheduling system like what MailRite provides. So you go in, you have a 15 minutes, you log into a system like MailRite, you can post like 5, 10 Twitters and space them out. It will save you a hell of a lot of time. Just keep yourself active there. But the other ones, YouTube, I think YouTube, if you're doing what Thomas is doing around video, works. The other ones, Instagram, there's about 3 or 4. I'm not too sure about at the present moment. I think really most of your most of the activities should be around Facebook and then a little bit about Twitter. What do you think, Thomas? Would you agree with that?
Yes, because I've seen the stats as of last year, the decline in use of social media, the in order of least decline, it's been Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. But like your Instagram and so forth, they've seen a reduction in use. They, you know, people are moving on to the next best thing type of thing. But
thank you so much for mentioning something I forgot, LinkedIn. We had a great guest. I won't pronounce his second name because I butchered it. I'm going to leave that to Thomas. What was our LinkedIn guest?
Rick Ikowitz.
I butchered his name, folks. But LinkedIn is really quite important to have a decent profile. And for referrals and just building your network in the industry, don't forget it. I think we can talk in this. I think we're going to wrap up the show. We've had our challenges this. But actually, Thomas, I don't know what you think. I think we've covered some, we've given a lot of information in this episode. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know, and again, I offer my opinion based on my experience and my methodologies. And I know that there's agents out there that do exactly contrary to what I do. And that's fine. I'm just giving you my experience and hopefully vicariously through my experience, some agents that haven't approached some of these subjects are getting more of an idea of what they should be doing. As far as 2017 standards are concerned, nobody tells you how to run your business, but we're trying to help you run your business by giving you good ideas and to consider.
Oh, that's great. When we see you next week, hopefully Thomas will be without his contractors. And we'll see you next week. Bye, folks.
Bye, folks. Thanks for your patience with my contractors. And you can...